Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht, and with me is the Breakfast King himself. It's Keith Parrish. Keith, what did you have for breakfast today?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. I had blueberry muffins that my wife made. They were gluten-free blueberry muffins. Delectable, delightful treat on a Sunday morning.
Ooh, that's delicious. You know, something that is not delicious at all was the fourth quarter of this Utah Jazz Golden State Warriors game. It was brutal.
You don't like a defensive struggle? Isn't that what we call it? We call it a defensive struggle? These teams...
Not against two offensive juggernauts, no.
Man, Jazz Warriors combined in their fourth quarter to score fewer points than the Bills and Chiefs scored in the final 2 minutes of their football game. That's a real
unbelievable
stat. They couldn't score.
A stat.
Both things were ridiculous. I'm sorry, NBA purists. There was a professional football game that had the wildest last 2 minutes you'll ever see. But also the Warriors and Jazz chose to refrain from scoring. I mean, I guess it was close. It came down to a buzzer beater. Bojan Bogdanovic had it kind of rim out. He was losing, yet held it for the final shot. Why do we do that? No one knows. I guess I respect it. It's like a preseason game. You just want it to be over.
Right.
Like, listen, if I shoot too early, we might get a rebound and tie it, but then we might have to play more. No. We don't want to go to overtime. I'm going to hold it to the final second. Shoot a three. If I make it, we go home. If I lose, we go home. So it's a win-win.
Hey, he tweaked his knee earlier in the fourth, so maybe he was like, this is over. Like, let's get this over with. Royce O'Neal almost tipped the ball in, too. Like, they had the ball go in and out twice, and somehow the Warriors still pull this off. Steph Curry, 1 of 13 from 3. What are we supposed to do with this season from Steph Curry? Because he sets the record. We celebrate him. Oh, he's the MVP. He's all this. And then it feels like he's really fallen off.
It's hard to say fallen off. The stats are not to the normal Steph level. Particularly, I feel like his clutch statistics, if you want to do NBA.com's arbitrary cutoffs, are just putrid. Yeah. Like, he's shooting a terrible percentage in clutch time. It's kind of funny because in his previous game, he had a walk-off. He hit a buzzer beater on Friday night, and it was actually the first buzzer beater of the year that wasn't a three-pointer. He had a walk-off two-pointer. But beyond that, in the last 2 minutes of games, if the game's within five, he's only shooting 22% on three-pointers this year. So, like, he's not knocking these shots down. And his numbers, again, he's like an MVP favorite because the Warriors as a team have been so good. But now that Draymond's not playing, well, that's not the case anymore. And like you say, the stats, they're not the highest of Steph caliber. Still good, although 1 of 13, that is, I guess, officially not good by anybody's standards.
Yeah, pretty brutal. And in the month of January, he's shooting 29% from three.
Oh, those are Dylan Brooks numbers.
But nevertheless, the Warriors get the win, 94-92. And this is also, a lot of this is just health. Like, right now, there's a lot of teams just trying to get through this part of the season and get healthy. And another one of those teams is your Memphis Grizzlies, who lost to the Dallas Mavericks 104-91. Big night from Luka Doncic, who had 37 points, 11 boards, 9 assists, 3 steals, and a block. Woo! Big night from Luka.
Luka dominated this game Steph Curry style without making any three-pointers. Luka, in the last couple games, the Grizzlies and Mavericks, Southwest Division rivals, have played a couple times in the last week or so. The Mavs have now won both games. In both games, Luka could not make his three-pointers, yet absolutely dominated the games inside, scoring in the paint with short little mid-range shots, was just completely unguardable, and he did it once again. The Grizzlies, my Grizzlies, were very shorthanded. I mean, missing, you know, Dylan Brooks has been out for a while. Desmond Baines and health and safety protocols. No Kyle Anderson, no Brandon Clark, no Tyus Jones. So they ran into a Mavericks team, which gives them fits even when healthy, and they could not overcome the Mavericks defense, the Mavericks rebounding. Ja tried. I mean, bless Ja Morant's heart. He had a massive game with 35 points, tied his career high with 13 rebounds. By the way, Ja Morant's career high in rebounds is higher than Jaren Jackson Jr.'s career high in rebounds. Also had 6 assists, like Ja did everything he could, but the Mavericks basically more at full strength, playing at home, basically dominated this game from start to finish.
Give me a quick summation of Jaren Jackson Jr.'s season, because it feels like he's a little all over the place.
He is a little all over the place. Speaking of clutch statistics, he's 4 for 6 on three-pointers in the final 2 minutes of games when you're within 5 points. Or fewer. He's also second in the NBA in blocks. So, like, we're not worried about it. He's having an all defense level campaign so far. He's, I believe he leads the NBA still in combined steals and blocks. His defense has been amazing this year. The shooting is a roller coaster. The offensive game is a roller coaster. When he's on, the Grizzlies are basically unstoppable. When he's off, like he was playing against Porzingis and Kleber and the Mavericks, you know, the Grizzlies struggle to score, especially in the offense in the half court. And the Mavericks are very good at slowing the game down. So, yeah, Jaren's offense is a roller coaster, but defensively he's been amazing and honestly a little bit under the radar nationally with how good he has been.
Yeah. Someone who just came out of a slump, Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, before this game, was 0 of 17 from 3 in the past three games. And now, in this game, he puts up 51 points against the Washington Wizards. What a game from Tatum.
Yeah, 9 made three-pointers. That is certainly one way to break your slump. And the Celtics get a big win, just destroy the Wizards. I don't know what the Wizards are. Sorry, that was weird. The Wizards have been a little bit different recently as they add guys back in. They've added Rui Hachimura. They've added Thomas Bryant. I don't know if there's some growing pains with that. But a Wizards team that's kind of a little up and down as well, but the Celtics get a big win that they desperately needed.
Yeah, it's good to see the Celtics dominate from start to finish in a game because they have had nice starts on a lot of nights, but then they just cannot close teams out.
They like to blow a big lead. That is
they do.
That is one of their things. And so, yeah, that, I'm sure their fans were very happy. None of that drama happened on Sunday.
Yeah. Pretty wild. Speaking of drama, I don't know if you saw the end of this Pistons-Nuggets game, but it was a one-possession game. The Pistons had many, many chances, and they just a spectacular tanking job by the Pistons. Sadiq Bey steps out of bounds. They set. I think there were two possessions where they had moving screens. It was just an absolute disaster for the Pistons as the Nuggets win 117 to 111.
Death by moving screen is one of the more painful ways to go down. You feel bad for the Pistons. They rallied. I think they were down 15 pretty late in this one.
Yeah.
Speaking of a team that likes to blow a lead, the Nuggets have these second half collapses.
Holy and like, smokes.
They're
man.
Not confused. They're less confusing to me than the Celtics ones. The Celtics ones, you're like, well, why'd you everyone start playing terribly? The Nuggets ones, you're like, why won't anyone help Nikola Jokic? Why won't anyone help Nikola Jokic? And so Jokic puts up these stats that break your brain with how good they are, but you're like, all right, I don't expect these other guys to play well, and now they're not playing well, and now these teams are coming back on them, and you know, you give credit. It's like, I don't feel like you can give Jokic the MVP just because of the team's record, but it's like him and Embiid are basically unstoppable. Like no one can do anything with either one of those guys. And the Pistons, they got close, but I guess, you know, if you are considering the tanking race, this is a good tank game. Show you can tie the other team and they'd be like, you know what? We don't want it. You can have it.
Right. Right. Great, great tanking there, Pistons.
Yeah.
Speaking of Embiid, the Sixers beat the Spurs in San Antonio. It looked like the Sixers might be like slowly dying in this game too, as they did in another game. over the weekend, but they did pull this game out. They had this late turnover by Tyrese Maxey that really gave the Spurs some life, but Embiid had to put this game away. He had 38, 12, and 6 in this game. He continues to dominate. This is, you know, the big man's not dead. This year is a year of the big man because we have Embiid and Jokic really honestly just dominating every single night. Some other wacky scores around the league. We're not going to cover all of these in great detail, but the Orlando Magic defeat the Chicago Bulls. And if you haven't seen this, you can go right now and watch one of the more disrespectful dunks that I've seen this season where Jalen Suggs just moves DeMar DeRozan out of the way and dunks on him in this game. Just a crazy, crazy dunk. And then the Portland Trailblazers beat the Raptors. Just a complete beatdown. It was 33-15 after the first quarter, and the game was essentially over. What has gotten into these Trailblazers?
Yeah, they were basically at like the near the tank race. Like, maybe put your feet fully in. And we're like, yeah, all right, McCollum's out. Dame Lillard is out for we don't know how long. Maybe we're going to trade one of them. And then Anthony Simons is like, no, I got this. And for the first part of January, it was basically scoring 30 points a night. Now CJ McCollum comes back. And do they have like kind of a little bit of a stew brewing? Like, they got something going on. I feel like Trailblazers fans had opened up their minds to full-blown rebuild.
Yeah.
But now you're starting to win, and winning is fun. You wouldn't know as a Thunder fan, Andrew, but like, winning is fun and it's contagious, and you want more of it when you get it. I'm just kidding. The Thunder had a long decade of success. I'm just messing with you. But it seems like the Trailblazers now, are they going to totally sell everything? It was like, hey, will you give me 2 second-round picks for Covington? I wonder if this tiny bit of winning and the fact that it takes nothing to make the play-in in the Western Conference, if like, will this change course? Or because they have no one guiding their franchise, will the course not change because they're just a driftless, aimless boat floating down a river with no one driving the ship?
That's how it seems. That's what it looks like outside looking in.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started. The Heat beat the Lakers 113-107. I really don't want to talk about the Lakers all that much. Congratulations, Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler, triple-double, 20, 10, and 12. The Knicks beat the Clippers 110-102. RJ Barrett starting to put it together a little bit. I've been really enjoying the stylings of RJ Barrett.
Yeah, RJ Barrett had a massive game on Sunday. Maybe it's he finally got to play with his buddy Cam Reddish. He finally got a team up. Cam Reddish played his first game as a Nick on Sunday. Those little Duke guys had some good synergy going, and RJ maybe in a show of dominance had to say, this is my team. Don't get any ideas. And he had one of his better games of the year.
The Timberwolves just kind of dismantled the Nets. The Nets' defense has been pretty putrid. They win 136 to 125. That's a score from last year. And then the Hawks beat the Hornets 113 to 91. Are the Hawks back? Are they climbing back in this?
I think possibly. I mean, I know they wanted to get rid of Cam Reddish because of his bad vibes and bad shots. I might have made it the bad vibes part, but they said, hey, we have to excise this. Less is more. Let's rally around fewer players. And they've started to win a little bit. They initially lost that first game after the trade to the Knicks, and now I think they've won four consecutive games. They're still, they're on the outside looking in, still with the play-in standings in the East, but it's getting tight. Hawks, Knicks did not have any intentions of being on the outside looking in. They are currently. We're going to need the Bradley Beal, Spencer Dinwiddie-led Wizards, and then the Raptors with a surprise kind of loss to the Trailblazers. That's going to be a incredible fight of mediocrity.
Oh, this should be
this should be awesome.
This is what the play-in's all about.
That's right.
Keith, thanks so much for joining. Hope you guys enjoy your week. Keith, take us out.
Ding, ding.